Warning, ProTri News is a podcast with different opinions, knowledge and possibly fake news about triathlon racing. This is not for the faint of heart. If you get offended or hurt by what is said, please stop listening and go listen to some uplifting meditation music or just go work out, then try again.
I started using the Magic 5 goggles back in 2021. For the last decade, I struggled to find a pair of goggles that didn't leak or fog up during a workout. When you're like me and wear contacts, having goggles that leak simply won't cut it. The Magic 5 has solved this and my goggle leakage problem with their easy-to-use 3-step face scan that optimally fits your goggles to your face. What does Jan Frodeno, Ben Canute, Daniel Backegaard, Lauren Brannon, and Vanilla Language all have in common? Besides being the best swimmers in the sport, they also use Magic 5. Visit themagic5.com/PTN and get your goggles today. This is affiliate code, not a discount code, because each pair of goggles that you buy helps support us, ProTri News, to keep this show going. Thank you and enjoy the show. Hello, welcome back to another episode of ProTri News. I'm your host, Kyle Glass. I'm over the moon because football season is back and Ferrari got second and third today at the Formula One race. And there's some exciting triathlons at Super League Toulouse. So let's start it off. Talbot Cox, what are you doing today?
I am actually on the Ironman Florida bike course. I'm in Gulf Shores, Panama City area, wherever. But excited. I mean, the Toulouse race was a super, super exciting race. There was some drama, if you watched, with Leo Bergier and Hayden Wild, which was like super interesting. And you're kind of like, what the heck is going on? And makes the racing super, super exciting. So, and then we have our big niche show. So I'm excited for today's episode.
Big niche show. Chelsea Burns, how are you doing today?
Hello, gentlemen. I'm doing well. Just got back from a nice hot Boulder morning jog. Heading to work after this.
How far did you run? You want to tell everyone what your next race is? I think everyone's super excited and entrenched in your adventures of running around the world.
Well, I've signed up for my first ever marathon. It's in December. But before my first ever marathon, I might dabble in a triathlon. But wait on my details there. We'll just put that out there for now. I still would need to begin my swimming and biking training, though. That is on hold. So we'll see.
And to add on to that, Chelsea and I, well, I was texting back and forth Chelsea this weekend because we were watching UTMB, and I've never watched an ultra marathon in my life, ultra race, other than Western States, and I was like glued to the screen, and then Chelsea told me she was going to do it next year.
Well, I know. I said I want to go watch. I don't know if anyone else on of our listeners watches UTMB or follows ultra running at all. I do feel like there's – I think Heather Jackson has brought some triathlon fans over to ultra running. I think there's a little bit of an overlap in the type of person that type of racing attracts, but it is owned by Ironman. You guys have informed me. And I just wanted to say about the broadcast, it was incredible. Like 24-hour broadcast free on these trails with these athletes in these crazy remote sections of three different countries, middle of the night, just really awesome to watch. And the crowds on this race course are, I mean, if you have any chance to go watch some clips, it was insane. So
I think one thing we just got to do for the UTMB is Talbot and I were talking to each other. It must've been at 9 or 10 o'clock at night. It would just be awesome if at least the elite racers all had some sort of GPS device on them that we could actually track. And so that's been used in these like, ultra endurance cycling events. It's quite common. And I think that would just be a really nice touch to add to these, you know, obviously Western States 100 and UTMB are the two largest ones. If we just had, you know, an understanding, and then that would build like, you know, we know, so-and-so's, you know, 10 minutes out and roughly they're 2 miles, you know, it's just like, I that would really help the broadcast move along. Cause this is also ultimately like a 24-hour broadcast. Sorry, Talbot.
And I know this is a triathlon podcast, but the reason we bring this up is there was some drama this weekend. Chelsea, fill us in on kind of like what happened and the athlete.
Yeah. So another reason some of us are personally invested in following UTMB and ultra running is triathlete, short course, British athlete, Sophie Caldwell, is married to one of the top ultra runners. His name is Tom Evans. He was he won Western States this year, third last year at UTMB, and I think showed up to try and win UTMB 2 days ago. Unfortunately, 2 a.m. in the middle of the night, somewhere in the random Mont Blanc area of Italy, just disappeared. It didn't show up to the aid station that Sophie and his crew was waiting for him at. And it sounded like the other runners didn't pass him. So I think there was a good hour of some pretty stressful panic as they didn't know where he was. And this is remote trails in the dark. So he did end up eventually making it there. I think he was taken to a hospital. And it sounds like he'll be okay. But as to what actually happened, I'm not exactly sure. But yeah, bummed for him, but glad he's okay. So
yeah, some live GPS tracking, like the athletes wearing the PTO races, would be really, really cool for.
Just an air tag on the bum would be fine, probably.
That's true too.
Just an implant.
Pat, how are you getting on this weekend? A pretty exciting weekend for you.
Massive weekend for Colorado sports fans. So look, if you live in Colorado, here's who you're cheering for. You got Sep Kuss, Durango native, leading the Vuelta. Amazing. CU Buffs, Deion Sanders and his team. First game of the season. Tons of hype. They come out with a big win. And then my roommate won her first World Cup in 7 years. And I'm super pumped about that. And we'll probably get more touch, you know, on that more in the wrap up or in the post-race recap.
You said CU Buffs and Colorado native. And you hadn't even been in Colorado a year yet.
No, I've been here for 2 years officially, and I think, Colorado residents. And awesome weekend, and super, super great result for my wife.
Well, with that being said, let's dive into Valencia. Let's start off with the men's race. Chelsea?
Well, since we don't usually cover World Cup super closely, I'm not super informed on what happened. I know that Valencia, we know it's a hot, easier bike course, traditionally has been a big run race. The winner was born in like 2003, a Spanish athlete. I don't even know his name. David something.
Quintero.
Impressive result. Hopefully more to come from him. But again, these World Cups are, I think it's important to remind everyone, these are solid races, but they're not quite the World Series level. So the ones you're seeing on the podium here who sometimes struggle to make the packs or whatever in the World Series races, it's almost a different sport sometimes on the bike and in the swim, but great result.
Sprint finish.
Last day, pre-year. And then Michelle Sarzilla.
Another notable athlete trying to get some points was Casper Storns on there, as him and Gustav are battling out for a slot for Team Norway, which he got six in that race.
Good points in the Olympic period for these World Cups. So if they're Olympic distance, you actually get 100% of that total 500 points for the win. So
I mean, that's the equivalent of eighth place at an Olympic distance World Series. So it's it is a, you know, you make a pretty big dent in your yearly total if you show up and perform at these Olympic distance World Cups. Yeah, Talbot.
And Chelsea, you might be able to answer this. I heard some drama that there's some upset U.S. athletes that Morgan Pearson's not racing these World Cups. I know you probably, I don't know if you didn't have inside detail, or why wouldn't an athlete like Morgan show up to these races?
Isn't he, last I heard he was racing Carlo Vivari, which is next weekend. Has he pulled off of that?
He's racing.
Yeah, I mean, you can't do everything. Morgan just was in Paris in France for a few weeks, probably needed to get a bit of training in back here in Boulder before he heads back over to do Carlo Vivari, Hill Race Pontevedra, and I think he's racing the Super League in Malibu. So poor guy can't do everything. But hopefully we'll see him in Carlo Vivari and get some points there.
Guy puts the team on his back in Paris and bags an Olympic slot, and there's drama going on.
Oh,
that's what I heard.
Also, shout out to top American male at Valencia, Brent Demarest, coming back into
the sport.
God. I'm just saying. I'm just
top
saying.
Americans. The women's race, you had a one of the slowest swims we've seen in a World Cup. I don't know if the course was long or what it was. It was pretty interesting that the commentators, Trevor and I believe it was Heather, kept commentating on it. But it was 22-minute Olympic distance swim, which I think it... How do you know if it was the distance or was it the speed?
I haven't asked, and I haven't checked it in relation to the men's race either. I mean, you know, in swimming, if a can is put out and then there's 50 meters added to it, like all of a sudden, you know, that makes a big dent in the swim. So I don't know. I think the story of the day was, is there, you know, on Thursday at the race briefing, they said, you know, be prepared to race at any time during the day because of storms. And so, you know, of course, this is the one race that Gwen didn't bring a set of rain wheels to. And it was supposed to be 100% chance of rain. And ultimately it ended up being super sunny for both races. But it did storm heavily in the morning and it passed.
So the men's swim was 17 minutes.
And the women's was 22:14, which is pretty surprising, but a fairly large group. A couple athletes didn't make the group, and their day ended pretty quickly. But Gwen Jorgensen made the group, runs away with the win to Nina M of Germany, and then also Marlee Gomez.
Come on, Talbot.
Gogol?
Yeah, that's right. Sounds great. So,
Gwen has to be stoked with this. It's her first win in nearly 7 years. And the only win this year by an American at a World Cup or higher event. So she has to take that as some confidence going into this weekend. Next up, we have the America's Championship Cup.
Farah Cruz. Is that what we're talking about?
Yeah. Yep.
Wow. We're talking about a Carty Cup here. This is amazing.
I just saw it on our thing.
Coverage. Anyways, yep, Continental Championships down in Mexico. Women raced yesterday, men raced this morning. Very, very crazy hot. I think middle of Mexico on the Gulf side in early September has got to be the surface of the sun. Unfortunately, we don't have the men's results yet. I'm not sure what happened. I haven't been glued to a computer all morning. Women's race was won by Talbot's favorite athlete, Rosa Maria Tapia Vidal, who was in a sprint finish with American Gina Sereno. So they would have gotten some good points, Olympic points as well here too. So interestingly, this race can contribute to your World Series score, I believe, because it's a Conti champ. So 400 total points available for the win, just 100 less than the World Cup in Valencia. So
we only had to put that on there because Rosa Maria Tapia Vidal won it.
Yep.
The big race, Super League. Chelsea, walk us through the women's.
Okay. I also didn't watch this. I'm the least researched human on the planet this morning. It started at 2:30 a.m.
I thought it was supposed to start in the morning, like early morning for us, and it was actually in the middle of the night. I like woke up, did a little morning pee, and then went back, checked my phone for a second, and I was like, what the frick? Super League's on. And so,
right. So Kyle did a morning pee. It looked filled with drama. This Toulouse course, they had it last year for the first time. Really awesome crowd turnout for it. I think we know the French love triathlon, and Super League got a really good job second year in a row getting an insane crowd out. Crazy course as well. I watched a few clips of them tearing through these streets on the bike. I think far more crashes than we would have liked to have seen. Some penalty and DQ dramas. We can talk about those too, but podiums on the women's side. Kate Woff won the race. Very impressive British athlete, kind of coming up through the ranks. She's a bit younger than the Brits were used to. It did seem like the moto was very present here, and I'm not taking away from her race, but just that sounded like it was a bit more of an issue on the course this morning. Second and third were the two Frenchies, Leonie Perriot and Emma Lombardi, who opted to skip London, but race in France. So great races for them. Bigger names we saw, Jean Laher, who won last weekend, was disqualified. Some sort of helmet unclipped debacle, it sounded like. So pretty disappointing. And Taylor Spivey pulled out, opted not to do the run today, has some health stuff going on. So that was women's. Men's race was Leo Berger won. That was the controversy I think Talbot's talking about. So he and Hayden Wild were riding together off the front, and I think they were a bit confused on which lap they were. It seemed that Hayden was potentially more confused. Leo had his feet out of the shoes. Hayden seems to have said that it wasn't communicated well enough to them. These are short laps. There's a bell, but it's very loud, and I guess he thought he had another lap. So rode through transition. Leo also missed the dismount line, but did get off his bike. Hayden had to like loop back and come through again to get off. So he was ultimately given only a 5-second penalty for that. Leo wasn't given a penalty. Hayden was not very happy about that. Ended up in fourth. Second and third was, remind me, do you guys know?
Second and third for the men?
Yeah.
Johnny Brownlee.
And yes. Henry Schumann.
There you go.
Henry Schumann.
Yeah.
And there's an amazing video on the Super League website of Henry Schumann's wife and daughter yelling at him or like cheering for him. It's absolutely amazing. Go check it out. Super exciting racing. I mean, if you watch this, it's like, it's really, really fun to watch. Just like what Chelsea said, there's like so many people at this race. You wonder if it's so many people at this event or if it's such a small loop that it looks like there's so many people.
I think it's a combination of both. You'll see their next race is in Malibu. It's a very small loop, but it will be nowhere even near the crowd levels that Toulouse has. So I think that that city and where they opt to have it definitely contributes to the support they're able to get for it. So really cool to see that. Another crazy video, if you check out their Instagram, is two Scorpion teammates in the women's race, Vander Kay and Alice Beto. Alice makes a questionable move on her bike and literally just rams Nicole Vander Kay into the side and she flies off. So it was pretty tough to watch, pretty disappointing for her. But
did she walk away from it?
I'm sure she walked away fine. I don't know if she continued on. Unfortunately, that's not the first time that Alice Beto has ridden like that in a group in World Triathlon. She has a bit of a reputation for these bike moves. So, yeah, disappointing, but also it's maybe something to work on there.
And are these races, Chelsea, like dangerous for athletes? Or is it just racing?
It's racing, but I certainly think that you could look at the amount of casualties in this one. I know Seth Ryder was also involved in a crash, and I saw he was in a medical facility in France getting some sort of x-ray on what I hope is not a broken bone. So to kind of have these riskier courses and very aggressive racing at a time in the season where they're kind of staring down the grand final and here in a few weeks, it's a risk. There's a lot of money on the line, but certainly it's probably a more dangerous Sunday morning than you'd have training out in Girona. So yeah, there's some element of being careful, but also you can't control everything there. So
back one question I have, would you ever anticipate federations saying that you're not allowed to race Super League races if you're like on funding type of situation or anything or not?
I don't really see it. I think that if you're a federation and your athlete wanted to go race Kona and then you had another athlete that wanted to go race Super League, which one would you be first to try and put a stop to? I mean, they're both risky, right?
Yeah.
What would you ever be on board with federations having their own teams? Or like, I guess, you know how like a there's like Team Europe or Team USA and stuff like that, or like how did the teams work and stuff? I know you caught up with one of the teams.
Yeah, so thanks for asking this. We briefly spoke on this last week and we were a bit misinformed on how the structure of Super League works. We've commented a few times that it's sometimes pretty confusing to even an educated triathlon watcher between the formats, the teams, and it just seems like every year there's new elements that we're really desperate to catch up with. As for a federation team, I don't know if there's a whole lot of federation investment in this format at this point. I think that I talked to the managers of the Warriors, the US team, this week, and was told that I think the goal of Super League is to move to a model that is kind of the way F1 looks at the moment, where the league is owned by whoever is in charge of F1, but then the teams are all privately owned and funded. So Mercedes wins their money and they decide how to distribute it to their athletes, and they write the contracts for their athletes, and they, with their budgets, I mean, the better teams financially have the option to buy the better athletes. So I think that's kind of something that they're striving towards. And the way that the teams are set up this year, I know that, for example, the Real Triathlon squad is in charge of that US team, and they're really looking to build triathlon in the US and get a backing for triathlon by having all these Americans that they can kind of make the face of the team. So, I mean, it's awesome that they're doing that, and I hope that it does make a difference here. We'll see when we kind of go to Malibu if there's any sort of American team on American race soil, what that looks like. But yeah, as for federations and country-specific teams, it will be interesting to see how it goes in the future. I think it's just super hard to have, not that these teams should all be fair, but I mean, money gets the best athletes. So whoever's getting offered a contract to, if you're a top athlete and the Bahrain team's offering you $50,000, but the US team can only offer you 10, you're probably not going to go for the US team if you have that choice. So did that answer Chelsea, the question? I feel like I haven't stopped talking.
Totally.
Okay.
No, it totally did. I was curious on it. Would you ever race for the America team?
I don't think the America team would have me.
Okay.
I think we talk too much shit about everyone, including Super League, that I just have no chance of anything anymore.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I feel like
we love Super League. It's fun to watch.
I think we might go out to California to watch.
We might go to Malibu to support them.
Malibu. Other racing, 70.3 ZOMC this weekend. Freddie Funk takes away the win. Jan Stratmann in second, and then followed by a Belgian athlete, Sten Gustewerers. Don't know how to say that name, but that's what it looks like. And then Daniela Blamil.
Blethmile won. Daniela Kleiser, second place. And Franzi Rang in third. There was also Ironman Wales. Nikki Bartlett won the race by 23 minutes over Hinnie Hektarkin. And third place, Joanna Ahrens. We also had 70.3 Ponzan in Poland. I'm not even going to try and pronounce these names. If you want to see the results, go look online on the PTO's website.
And also, that's it for the race results. Coming up this weekend, we have another World Cup. Are we going to hit all these World Cups? Because didn't Chelsea and Pat say there's 769 of them this winter?
Yeah, and we've got, what, like three down? So 766 to go.
We need to decide. Do we care about World Cups? I feel like World Cups are like a big thing. When I was running with Jonas Schoenberg in Paris, and he was like hyping me up on World Cups. So that's why I started putting them in the show now.
We need to get on to the big main event this weekend, and it's Ironman Nice.
Quickly before we get to Nice, there is another World Cup this weekend, Karlovy Vary. It's a really cool course in a really cool town. I've been there before, and very different course than Valencia, which was pretty flat and guaranteed to be a run race. We'll see. Tune in if you care about World Cups, which, according to Jonas Schoenberg, are worth getting behind.
And our girl Julie Dieron, who we've already predicted to be the next great long course athlete, is going to be racing as well.
There you have
it. All right. There we have it, Chelsea. Thank you so much for coming on. You want to preview this weekend for Super League real quick?
There's not a Super League this weekend, but I'll watch Nice instead.
Who do you got for the win? Who do you got for the win in Nice? Who are you calling?
It's a men's only race, by the way.
I actually did know that. Can you give me like three people to pick from?
Skipper. Yes.
Oh, definitely Joe Skipper.
Yeah. Okay, she picks
Skipper. I played poker with him in Font Romeau. Great guy. Okay. Have a good episode, guys. Yep. Good poker face.
All right. We'll see you, Chelsea.
Bye, y'all.
All right.
Waterfall Bank strives to give you a different way of banking. Based in Florida, they give you the best of both worlds. A banking experience that focuses on you, as well as a triathlon team that allows you to not focus on making your Instagram posts every week and making sure that you give them credit for being a part of the team. but also makes you feel like you're part of something more of a community. If you join their Discord group as a part of joining the Waterfall Bank racing team, it's $75 to join. Comes with a bunch of benefits, including next year, which will be bigger and better. So if you're looking for a team that you feel could give you the best bang for your buck, join the Waterfall Bank racing team.
Big, big show this weekend. But this is, before we dive into this, I chatted with this. I feel like that there's not that much hype around Nice. I feel like you're not even hearing much about it.
When do we think it really, I mean, do we think
you know who's won the swim race before the race? You know, like everything, you know, what's going on.
I think all that stuff's dead with the change of venue. So I think all of that stuff doesn't exist anymore. Like it may exist, but nobody cares. And so I think that's a second order effect from this and from the change of venue. I think we'll have a much better idea come Monday if the hype is real or not.
Yeah.
I mean, I hate patting myself in the back. We're like 2 weeks into Kona series by this point. Like the Kona vlogs and all that were completely, I mean, we were like literally a week and a half in Kona and we 2 weeks in and it's just like, It's the race is in less than a week from now. Ironman hasn't even posted about it on their socials.
I think this is, again, we were talking about this. They haven't posted about it because they're still in a fog from 70.3 Worlds. And then all their entire crew went to observe UTMB. So I just think like it's back to back to back and they're in a little bit of a fog. Not to mention, you know, I think we'll try and not spend any amount of time on this kind of the where it stood post Lionel disqualification, but I just think that the time from when the men finished on Sunday in Lahti to all of a sudden today, I mean, that has been the fastest 8 days that the Ironman crew's ever seen.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to knock them too hard. They absolutely knocked it out of the ballpark as far as social media posts and going into 70.3 Worlds. But I do know that they partnered with Ironman Europe for that. And a gentleman by the name of, now I'm in a terrible memory, Anthony or something, is the one who ran it and did a phenomenal job. Whatever to that. I just feel like there's not as much hype, which will be interesting to see because then it'll be interesting to take this kind of looking at this and then going into Kona, how it changes for Kona. And it's just, yeah, it'd be interesting. They did do one post of the start line, but other than that, we'll dive into the race. It is going to be a super, super exciting race. You have your multiple time world champion, Jan Frodeno, Patrick Lang, Sam Laidlow, Leo Chevalier, Joe Skipper, Cam Werf, Magnus Ditlev, Clement Mignon, Dennis Chevreau, Matt Hansen. I mean, just Leon Chevalier is like
this. Chevalier.
This is like I see him being one of the race favorites.
Leon,
yeah.
Why?
Great race in Kona. He's even better in the mountains. Like he's stoked on this year. He's hungry. Been a little quiet dark horse. I mean, do we just start and maybe talk about how we think that the race is going to unfold out of the water?
Yeah. Sure. I think what we're going to see, you know, when they originally named the course in Nice, I think there was a question of, you know, well, is this a possibility for a wetsuit swim? Certainly this year, it's not going to be a wetsuit swim. And then, you know, they've got a much different bike course, right? And so we've talked, you know, there's been a lot of hype around the amount of climbing. I think it's right at 8,000 feet of climbing, like 2,600, 2,700 meters. But there's one climb that, you know, it took Cam Werf, if you look at his Strava, it took him like 48, 49 minutes at Ironman Nice when he did it firm. And so that's going to be the big deciding factor because, you know, in St. George, when we had a course with that much climbing, we never really saw anything over like 20 minutes that was significant. And so I think you're going to see you've got a big climbs and then you've got some hard pushes on flats after that. And I think we're going to see gaps on the bike like we've never seen before.
there's going to be dudes just riding solo. And then ultimately it's going to, you know, that will cause, I think, some crazy blow ups on the run for guys that went too hard. And then I think you'll see some people that came from behind. But ultimately, you've got everybody watching this race because we know about some crazy bike setups. And the women that were going to be doing it next year will look at this and go, okay, well, what did I learn? What worked? What didn't?
Stop right there, Pat. We know about crazy bike setups, but our listeners may not know about those crazy bike setups. Could you just elaborate a little bit on that?
Sure. So I think there's a couple things that athletes might be looking to achieve. One is simply they want to make the bike as light as possible. So look for people that have made decisions to go with as the lightest equipment possible based on how much time they will be climbing. Watts to kg will be very important here. Part two, you also have people were very concerned about the downhills. And so they want to have a bike that's a little bit more confident descending than a traditional triathlon bike. And so I think, you know, we'll see, but there's been talks of do we take an aero road bike and put aero bars on it? Do we take a traditional triathlon bike and the base bar now has a traditional road bar on it? And so I think you're going to see a lot of different things. You know, in my experience in cycling, there's whether it's, you know, people will be doing gravel races that might be a little too mountain bikey. So then they ride a mountain bike or they think that there's a road race that they want to ride a gravel race on. I don't see a big case for people changing the actual frame set that they've been riding on all year. I'm going to say it. If there's people that are riding a road frame, this will be the first and last year they ride a road frame. I think people are going to stick to the triathlon bike because there's enough riding on the flats that is imperative to gain or maintain your lead and then obviously benefit from the aero side of things.
And in the downhills too, no?
The downhills, you know, the reports I've got from the downhills is that they're just not that bad. And so you'd have to be a very poor descender to really lose any time. And then you'd have to think, okay, well, if I'm going to convert my bike to be the best descending possible, how much time do you actually spend descending? And this is the same thing as it's even more exaggerated than a headwind and tailwind. It's like if you're going into a headwind, that's when you want to push the hardest because that's where you spend the most amount of time. It's the same thing on a climb. You want to optimize on a climb because you will be climbing far more than you will be descending. So, yeah, I think those who choose to optimize for the descent will be sorely disappointed.
It'll be interesting. We know Canyon has been very vocal in the past about their athletes using different bikes, as we saw Lionel Sanders choosing to use a UCI bike last year at the World Championship and them getting on the GTN show and really strongly, strongly disagreeing with him, telling the show and the listeners how bad the aerodynamic benefits are and how much it's costing Lionel. And it's very interesting to see Sam Laidlow's newest post is he's riding a road bike with aero bars on the front of it. If you go to the photo too of Sam Laidlow's newest post. So I think that we might see all the Canyon athletes not riding their TT bikes. I would guess that they're all riding road bikes. Not all, maybe a few different, but it'll be interesting to see if they choose to go with the Canyon Speedmax or if they choose a different bike for this course.
Yeah. Like I said, I think those who deviate from what they've been riding normally, I don't think you'll see that in what will ultimately be year three of Nice, but year two for the men visiting Nice. So I know that, the women will be eagerly watching to learn from the event, right? Across the swim, bike, and run. And I think it's really exciting to think about that this is the first time ever that they're going to race on this.
And Sam Laidlow's post, I was actually talking with Chris and Kane Lieta before this. It looked like Daniel Backegaard had the opposite. So he had the TT bike with the road handlebars. Really?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure that they've been testing different setups, and it's going to be fun to watch.
Yeah.
Where did you see this at? I'm looking at it right now, Kyle. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, look at Daniel in that photo. We're going to let people go look at it for themselves.
Everyone can figure it out for themselves. It's going to be hot. That's going to be another big issue. This course is significantly more challenging than Kona. I mean, it's pretty obvious. You're going to be in the mountains. So, I mean, I was going to say Pyrenees, but they're in the French Alps. So, as far as the course goes, they'll have a one big freaking loop on the bike, and then the run is up and down the promenade. I think we'll see some freaking fast run times. It's four loops. It's going to get crowded. I think that you'll see people moving up and down to where it may be crowded enough that you won't see athletes like Patrick Lange or Matt Hansen or your fast, super, super fast runners will maybe be able to like blend into the background and not get seen sneaking up through the field.
It'll be interesting. I can't remember if the descent is 30K or 40K, but I think that you see a lot of the inexperienced bikers losing a lot of time. Hence, Lionel Sanders was very vocal on one of the reasons why he wasn't even coming to this race, because he knew how much time he would lose on this descent.
40K
descent. I mean, you're essentially sitting up and you're taking a long break when usually that last hour athletes are in an Ironman are pedaling pretty hard. And really, so kind of like Kyle said, that will be very interesting. Let's kind of chat about the swim. How do we see the swim playing out? Does Magnus make the front group, Pat?
I don't think so. Oh,
look, I mean, I think it's, you know, the guys that are going to be in it are going to be, you know, I don't think a guy like Ferdino is going to press the swim to ensure that a guy like Magnus doesn't see the front on the exit. I can't think of off the top of my head who are going to be like the dynamite swimmers that we may not see feature in the top 10 otherwise. And so I could see this being a case where the swim is done a little bit more, I'll say, reserved, because they realize like, look, this bike course is going to be, you know, you might make up 2.5 minutes in the swim, but if you ain't fresh for this bike course, you're going to lose 12.5 minutes. And so maybe you see the swim a bit more reserved than we saw in Kona, right? Because they know, okay, come to 50K in the bike, we're going to be lights on. Like, it's going to be full gas.
Yeah.
So that could be the only, like, if I'm just thinking out loud here, you know, there's a world where I see that happening. Probably we got Sam Laidlow that just goes in and presses the swim as hard as he can.
Yeah. You got Daniel Backegaard could press it. Braden Curry will be up there in the front. Patrick Lange will be a very interesting one if he makes that front group. He can climb really, really good. I think that what might surprise a lot of people on this course, unless he's proved everyone wrong otherwise, is I don't know if Jan can climb like some of these other guys. If you watch how he raced earlier in the year at Ironman 70.3 Andorra against the German athlete, who was it, Kyle?
In Andorra?
Yeah.
Jonas Schoenberg.
He would lose time on the ascents and gain time back on the descents. So that will be an interesting one. Sam Laidlow going to be up there as well. So yeah, I mean, just super, super interesting. Another athlete that you don't want to sleep on, who showed that he can swim and ride a bike as well, Peter Heimrich in this race, who had a phenomenal Hamburg earlier this year that a lot of people have just, even going into this weekend, probably don't even know that he's even racing. So this could play into Skipper's hands with the slower swim, but I mean, we don't know if that's going to happen yet.
All right,
let's go. Front pack swim. Matthew Marquardt, Jan Frodeno, Sam Laidlow, Patrick Lange, maybe a couple more French people, Braden Curry, Daniel Backegaard, Rudy Von Berg.
Sure. Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. It's going to completely decimate after, you know, by 100K. We're just going to see people
Kolecki as well.
He's everywhere.
On group in Ironman, Texas.
Okay. Here's the big question that I have for the weekend. How long do we think the pro briefing takes?
2 hours.
I was gonna say 2.5.
I'd say it's gonna take an hour and a half. Look, clearly the center line is gonna be raised here. We have the famous clip that was played over, I mean, I think it has over 200,000 views on Facebook, of Rudy Von Berg passing Alistair Brownlee on this descent. Rudy crosses the line, but is Rudy crossing the line, or does Alistair Brownlee block him and push him out? Or is it called something else? Freaking racing. Let the athletes race.
Yeah.
Let the athletes race.
Yeah, I think it's closer to something called racing, Talbot, from that clip. But in the case of, you know, what happened in Lahti, I mean, this is exactly what the athletes are going to want to clarify on and say, how are you going to rule on this? And what can we expect? And give us some help. I think the biggest problem is that, you know, you've got a head official leading the charge here who hasn't given clarity on this in the past, right? And hasn't helped the athletes understand and navigate this. And so I'm really optimistic that they'll have a productive meeting and they'll have a lot answered, but it will be a very, very different meeting than these pro athletes have ever sat in before. That is a guarantee.
Yeah, exactly. I'd assume these athletes might, whatever to making a pack, as Pat just alluded to earlier, they're going to stay together for the first hour, an hour and a half of the bike, and then we will really start it to see it split. There's going to be a lot of athletes to split off. I think that I could be wrong. The best thing you can do in this race is just do your own race.
Yeah.
Push your own power. You're going to see a lot of athletes trying to go with other athletes and pushing a power that they're not able to do, which is going to, the second half of the day is really going to be a tough day for them.
And then the way that the bike course is different than Kona and different than St. George, even, there's never a spot where the course double backs on itself. So if you're coming from behind or you're in the lead, you're never going to know anything. And I think what we realized in Lahti was that the athletes were riding and they didn't know anything. And it's just going to be, I think we're in for a real treat. I think we're in for a fantastic race. The final question I have when I think about the weekend before we get into picks ultimately is, do we sit here next Sunday, Monday when we do the show, and we say Nice was way better than Kona? Are we going to say that? What are we going to think about this? And are we going to say, okay, this was a world championship, it can move around, it can be in anywhere in the world, and we're going to be fired up about it? Or are we going to feel like it was missing something?
I had conflicting things going on. I had goosebumps whenever you said it, and then I started squirming in my chair. So I think that it'll depend on what ultimately, I think it depends on what the podium looks like, to be honest with you.
I'm not a big fan of this run course. I think that's the only thing. I think it's going to get way too busy up and down the promenade. Four loops is just too much for me. I wish they could have done that a little bit better, but I don't know, Pat. It'll be interesting to see.
Sorry, I don't know the scheduling. Are there going to be age group of men that they're lapping and passing on laps 3 and 4?
Yes.
That's going to look terrible on TV.
Terrible on TV. You have no idea where people are at. It's going to be completely packed.
Yeah. It's going to be insane. So,
yeah. All right. So that's one thing to think about and watch for, hey?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Hmm. I mean, think about this. How bad it looks when the athlete, not even really bad it looks, but when the athletes run that final mile after they got to the top of Polani and they're descending back down to the town to Kailua Kona and they're running with the amateur athletes and all the amateur athletes are running over on the side. They're trying to get the camera shot. They're waving. They're trying to hang with the pro athletes.
Yeah.
I don't know if we're going to see that. I hope not. I hope that the athletes are pretty respectful of the pro race going on, but it seems like it's going to be a lot. But you know what? We could be completely eating our words, and they're like, look, we got this thing completely organized. So,
the other thing that I struggle with the coverage is like on the descent, like it's going to be freaking dangerous.
Here's the reality, Kyle. This is going to be like in a bike race, right? Where when they descend 40K, they're doing 70, 80, 90K an hour. This descent is going to take them 19 or 20 minutes. I mean, it's just not that. It's part of the 4+ hour bike coverage. It's going to be a blip. And then because you're going to have people all over, they're going to be bouncing back and forth. Like it's going to be like in a real bike race at the tour or wherever. You just don't see a lot of the descent and it goes by so quick.
Yeah. And they have a helicopter as well. So
yeah, it's going to be.
They have a helicopter?
I would assume that for an Ironman World Championship.
Oh, yeah. We need picks.
Hold on, before we go to picks, do you guys think we'll see the fastest ever run at a world championship this weekend?
Nice. So irrelevant.
Huh?
No, it's so relevant to the, to the picks.
I'm going to go to picks. Yeah, Talbot, you nailed it.
That's, come on. Come on. We've seen courses that are 5K short on the run.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
We don't talk
about a world championship. Not at a world championship.
We don't talk about times. Come on. Podium picks.
Do I go first on this, do we think?
Yeah, hit it, Pat.
We do three or five. There's no women racing here. I say we go five. Top five.
Five. What is that? Is that like an insurance, two insurance picks or something for you? Good. Next week, you're like, oh, I had one of these, two of these names on my podium.
Okay, top three, top American, and dark horse.
No, absolutely not. No, we're going top three. I think, look, for my men, I think I don't want to count out Patrick Lang. Third bronze medal here. I think he's going to have a big deficit on the bike, but he's just going to be Pac-Manning through the field, and it's going to be late, but we'll go to spot number three for him. Second place, I'm going to say it. Leon Chevalier. I think he's going to have a breakout here. I think this is going to be a big one for him. And then
you didn't even pick your boy Magnus for the win.
That's who I'm saying for the win right here. Wow. Kaboom, baby. Let's go.
Wow.
I think, can we talk about the whispers that I've heard? Can we say any of the whispers?
What are the whispers?
We don't think the big dog's going to race.
You don't think the big dog's racing?
I don't think the big dog's racing.
So Jan Frodeno is not going to show up. That's what you're speculating.
I'm not saying it's that he doesn't want to. I'm just, those are the whispers.
Wow. There is some rumors in the street that he ain't, but I don't know.
I don't like betting against him. What I saw in Milwaukee, he's capable of winning this thing, but he's got to get there. And so if he gets there, I think he's going to feature. If he's not, you know, but we'll see if he toes the line.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. All right. What about
Kyle?
There's Christian Blumenfeld uploaded a thing about his flight. You think he's racing? You guys think he's going to just pop in and be like, hey, yo, guys, just in between my 70.3 Worlds and Super League, and I'm going to do World Champs just 3 weekends back to back to back. What up?
Christian's problem is he can't look at a start list, a stacked start list, and it's just he's like, it looks like too much fun. I cannot sit out. I cannot sit out. It looks like way too much fun. I gotta go. Put me a ticket.
I would never think that he's a wild man. He'd just do it. Think of it again.
This is like. Look, you take yourself back to the 90s. You're at your house, and you hear all your friends are down the street at the park, and they're all playing football, and you didn't get invited. And you're like, "Are you kidding me?" You take off running down there, and you join them, and then you get picked up. Then you have the game-winning touchdown. That's Christian right there.
Yeah, 100%. I hope he races. I would love to see it.
Christian's not racing. He's going in for a photo shoot, but it is hit it. He is hilarious.
Hey, love three guys that run a podcast can dream.
Yeah, hey, that's true. That's true.
Exactly.
Kyle, who do you got?
Oh, geez, guys. You know, I think that it's going to be. I'm saying it. It's going to be a French podium sweep.
Save this clip.
I'm going to go for the win. I'm going to go Clement Mignon because he's won on this course before. Second place, I'm going to go Arthur Horseshoe. And third place, I'm going to go Leon Chevalier.
Dude, you're the wildest wild man I've ever seen in my life.
Wow.
I don't know what happened at that OU football
game.
Kyle,
you know what I love about Kyle is he just shoots on up into the air. It's like he goes up to the Vegas betting table and he's like, I'm going to choose the craziest parlay. And if thing hits, I'm going to tell all my friends about it.
Dude.
I might have the French people wrong in that order. But
this reminds me of when you're picking. This is when your Matt reminds me you're picking Matthew Marquardt for winning the U.S. Open. And I was like, homie.
I think my problem is I get like too into my emotions and I'll have like all these things going on in my head and I'm like, I don't know what to do. And then I'll just like make a decision and then just go for it and dive all in. Because I can convince you right now on why all three French people will be on the podium.
Oh, you wouldn't be able to convince me.
100%.
Let's hear what Talbot has to say. Because now I feel like, I mean, we knew I was going to pick, you know, who my own
Magnus.
People, but I
you
mean,
you know, I love Leon Chevalier. I think he's going to do good. I'm going to go Leon. You know what? I'm not going to go Leon third. I'm going to go Peter Heimrich third place here.
Oh, that's a good pick.
I'm going to go Peter Heimrich. And you know who I'm going to go second?
Rudy Von Berg.
Nope.
Okay.
I think it's going to be Cam Wirth.
Wow.
I think Cam Wirth is, this is the, I chatted with him. This is the first time he's ever trained for an Ironman World Championship. First time he's ever trained for an Ironman World Championship. Think about that. He's done pretty good in the past, eh? This course suits him.
Yeah. Cam will, I mean, we're going to see Cam at the front end of an Ironman triathlon again. That's what we're going to see.
Like, yeah, we're going to see it. This is his...
Is
it Geraint Thomas he just climbs all around with? Who's the really good climber that he runs all around Europe with? So, I think Cam, and the only person I see that's going to steal the show is Patrick Lange. He's been there three times and hit this descent. He has this special Canyon Magic bike that they're coming out with for the race that I'm assuming that they're going to release, and he's going to have the lighter bike. He wants to show Jan Frodeno that he's one of the best Germans as well, and I just think Patrick Lange, even if he comes down with a 3 to 4 minute deficit to Werf, he's still going to run away with it. So I think Patrick Lange's going to take it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you Patrick
Lange could spot him 15 minutes.
Yeah. This is going to be...
Cam Wirth's going to run pretty good.
No. I love Cam, huge Cam fan, but I think it's going to just be, we're going to see a different speed on this run, and we're going to see the dudes that were ready to run fast. So, wow, guys, talk about some wild picks that none of us really aligned on, which I love for once in the show. Kyle,
the crazy pick.
There's so many picks to make. Daniel Backergaard, I think, could do good. Rudy Von Berg's been living there all summer. He could do good. I mean, Joe Skipper, he's poised for a big one. I mean, I think that this race probably suits him as well.
Here's what we've seen, obviously, in the men's long distance racing is they go for broke on the bike, and then they're running with whatever they have left, right? And it's, you're seeing, but now because the course is so challenging, you're going to just see these massive dents, and it's going to be, like I said, it's going to be people in ones, twos, and threes all over, you know, the French countryside. And I think it's going to be a really, really fantastic race.
Yeah. I'm pretty excited for it. I'll wake up in the middle of the night, unfortunately, to watch it, but it's going to be good.
Dude, I'm going to watch it. I'm going to be watching it live all from Carlo Vivari. Can't wait. I just found out from Gwen that she's there. She's like, Pat, you know, this is like the vacation capital of Czech Republic. She goes, every place you get massages, you get thermal bath, sauna. So I didn't realize I'm going to a week long vacation, boys. I'm bummed.
Pat's going to be in a thermal bath with his laptop up. Just watching.
She's like, what? This is amazing. Yeah.
All right, before we get on to hot takes, we have another race happening this week in Ironman 70.3 Sunshine Coast, and there is athletes on the female side and athletes on the male side. All right, let's take it into hot takes. Hot takes.
What are the hot takes?
Who has the most to lose in Nice? I got two names for you that it is pivotal that they have good races.
Matt Hansen?
No. So with all this drama and speculation about the PTO Tour next year, you need three good results in order to save yourself or get PTO contracts. And Magnus Ditlev has raced twice this entire year. I don't know what his manager says about this, but he's raced twice this year. He's finished two races. He raced three times. Absolutely crazy. He's put all of his eggs into this basket. He needs a good result. But not only does he need, like, he doesn't really need, he could go do a cherry pick race and easily get onto the tour. So whatever to that. But for him to stay in the top three, he does need a solid result here. Another interesting athlete that really needs a big result this week And if he does not perform here, he's pretty much, he's going to move to outside the top 20, Sam Laidlow. And he's going to have to be getting wild cards like Lionel Sanders for the PTO Tour. He's not going to get offered a contract. So it is imperative that Sam Laidlow has a very good result here.
Yeah, that's fair.
Talbot, what can I say? Those are great points. Yeah, awesome. I love it.
I mean, Sam Laidlow has. If you look at his top three scores, it's Kona last year, the U.S. Open last year, and then his Challenge Gran Canaria, which is 83 points. His other races is an 80 and an 81. So that's going to drop him all the way down to 30th place nearly. So he's really going to need to get a good result this weekend, because the problem is that there's no more races the rest of the year that have the higher point, like the diamond tier, the platinum tier races.
Yeah. So, yeah, it doesn't. Yeah. There's nothing that will get you even close.
Yeah. And this will be his only Ironman as well. So he will get a 10 or 5% bonus. So he needs to finish high, but Sam Laidlow needs a result this weekend.
Yeah.
Anyone else have much to lose? I mean, Jan Frodeno, does he have anything to lose here?
No. This is just purely for his personal pride. And like I said, he's either going all in or all out on this one. He's either going to win this thing or he's going to not race. It's going to be, you know, one or the other.
Yep. Matt Hansen, I would say, has a lot to lose.
Hansen have a lot to lose?
He hasn't had the best season. And like, it could be the beginning of the end for him.
No, he's going to do great. He's going to run through a bunch of guys and get a top 15. Mark my words.
At the end of the day, Matt is one of the best Ironman athletes to ever come out of America. Unfortunately, I don't believe that this is Matt's course. I believe that he will really struggle on the bike here.
Yep.
But that means absolutely nothing, because Matt, I still believe to this day, could be a contender for the win in Kona when he nails it. Matt's one of the hardest trainers I've ever seen. I don't believe he'll be a factor in this race, but if he plays his card right, I mean, Matt could literally win Kona next year. Mm-hmm. It's a course that's way more suited for him. So, but he doesn't. Matt's not going to back down to a challenge. That's what you got to respect about Matt.
Yeah.
Next hot take.
Who's going to be fastest bike split? Let's go fastest bike split.
You guys. That's an easy one.
Who?
Magnus.
Oh my gosh!
You guys,
I don't think so on this one. I think Werf's going to take this one. I think he's going to reclaim and let everyone show everyone how to ride a bike. I don't think necessarily that it's that how to ride a bike. I think that it's he spends a lot of time in these mountains and descending and stuff, and he went here to do his homework.
All right. Let's just, I can't go into specifics, but every once in a while, let every little listeners know that Talbot is really like my little brother I've never had.
That's true.
And Talbot and I get into these, I don't want to call them heated arguments, but they're colorful debates about things. Right. More often than not, I am right. And it may take one week, it may take one day, one month, but eventually it comes back. And I said, and Talbot will go, oh man, Pat, you called that one. And I said, Talbot, can we just pretend every once in a while that when I say things, I may actually know what I'm talking about. And I may have a little bit of intel that nobody else has, and I may get fed a little bit of information. And so let's just use this as one of those moments where I might know things, and let's just let that be. Okay.
Jeez. All right. Well, no,
we are going to see Cam Werf feature in this thing. His swim has gotten incredible. He's going to be licking his chop for the bike ride. This is exactly what he wants. We're going to Cam.
If Cam can't win here, Cam will never win a world championship.
Whoa.
Right. That's 100% a fact. I believe he can win.
Yeah.
How many times are we going to be racing here, Nate? That's another hot take.
I'd say you see the males here once, and I bet you see the females next year, and I say I bet it goes back to Kona.
We're going to save that for a different pod, and I think we need to actually see what happens on Sunday before we start pontificating about where the world championships are going to be and what we think.
Yeah.
Let's get one done and dusted. Yeah.
Fast run split.
Lang. Patrick Lange.
Yeah. Agree.
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree.
Is this Jan's retirement race?
No.
No.
No. No. No. He's going to do he's doing a Tom Brady.
I don't even think he's doing a Tom Brady. He said it earlier at the I said this earlier on another show or someone asked my opinions. He said this is his last championship season. Like I don't believe we'll see him in a world championship again. But Jan's going to he's literally one of the best athletes in the world right now, and he's 41, 42 years old. So
here's the thing. I talked to him briefly a couple times in Milwaukee. He genuinely seems to me like he's having fun.
Yeah.
Why would you stop? Keep going.
Yeah.
He looks, he looks great. He seems to be, he had a smile on his face. He's out cheering for the women's race. I looked at him and I thought, this is a guy that loves his job. Yeah. I hope he goes till he's 47, and I hope he can be okay being 46 and getting 14th at this thing and going, man, that was a great day I had. So I've got probably more respect for him than I've ever had in my entire life after seeing him in Milwaukee.
Yeah. I just hope you don't start seeing the retirement post this week. I'm going to be like, guys, come on. He ain't retiring. He never announced that.
Yeah, he's not retiring.
Yeah, same. Another hot take.
You know what's better than a retirement race?
What?
A coming out of retirement race in Kona 2024.
You stole that from Lionel.
No, I didn't.
That's literally what Lionel said in an interview.
Really?
Yeah.
Maybe I did steal from him.
Next hot take. Is Gwen Jorgensen back on track for the Olympics?
Depends on if she rolls on to Ponte Pedra.
Her entire Olympics only depends on that?
I mean, there's one discretionary slot left. So, depending on if Ponte Pedra, if there was an American.
Oh, so they're selecting no matter what.
Well, American athletes.
Yeah, so you're saying that an American athlete will be on the podium no matter what?
In Ponte Pedra?
Yeah.
I believe so.
I just don't know who the U.S. women could get on the podium right now.
I think Summer's had a great season. I think Taylor Spivey, consistency, she could be on the podium. If Gwen gets on the start list, rolls on the start list, she could be on the podium. I mean, with Georgia Taylor Brown being injured and Flora Duffy not being there, I think that you could see some crazy stuff happen in Ponte Pedra. And athletes that are doing Super League races, whether that you say that they'll fatigue or not doing the Super League races rather than just training the house down. I don't know. But I think that Ponte Pedra, you will see an American on the podium.
Pat, your thoughts?
Look, I think for me to just reflect on the last 7 years from when Gwen won a gold medal in Rio to, winning a World Cup yesterday. And it's not the biggest race in the world, wasn't the hardest race in the world. But what's happened in between those, you had somebody that wanted to go do a different sport, chase a passion publicly, for the reality is she failed at it in a very public manner. Right. Mm-hmm. And then again, even in the start of this triathlon thing, she was last out of the water in Cagliari with some, she got bit by a rabid dog that week, some terrible, our son had a fever, but again, the failure was incredibly public. And I think about if
lapped out.
Yeah. Lapped out. I mean, I think if all of the failures in my life were that public, would I want to continue or not? And for her to persevere and come out with a win, two children and a lot of ups and downs later, I think it was a moment that I was incredibly proud of her and inspired in my own work. So, look, I think she's training super hard and she's had three World Series opportunities and they've all basically been flops. But I think we could look at some stuff in between that and go, there's some real positives we can pluck from it. So, yeah, I don't know. This is the Olympics. Anything can happen.
Yeah.
And when you've demonstrated time and time again that you got nothing to lose, I think that's when you've got that in your back pocket, that's the biggest thing you can have. So, yeah, let's see what happens and just got to keep working hard.
It will be interesting because you got to admit, not speaking for anyone, but Team USA, the females watching Gwen get lapped out in Cagliari, all sat back that night and probably laughed their heads off and said, "Haha, she thinks that she could just come right back in and hop right back in here." But with her performance yesterday, I do know it was maybe not the strong field, but you got to turn a little bit of heads. So they're kind of like, oh, whoa, okay. And especially the USA selection team, they're kind of like, whoa, all right, that is Gwen. If she can just get that swim and bike nail down, so we know that she can run. And she proved it.
And,
so.
And transition.
Transition is going to be, needs to be key for her. She still lost 4 seconds to the group, to those leaders, and to all the other girls. So
let's just let's just pretend for a moment that I might know what I'm doing. Maybe we're working on this. Maybe we're not. Let's just, you know, I remember these are all, nothing that I've heard is new. You know, and like I said, it's like she's working incredibly hard. And I think, you know, World Cups, no matter the level of them, they are not easy to win. There's a reason that, you know, only one person wins. And I think it's like, it's just no matter what race you go to, I will be the first to admit there are easier races to win and harder races to win. But winning any race, I don't care what it is, what sport it is, that's an accomplishment. And so I think that needs to be recognized and respected as well.
And yeah. Carlo Vivari is a little bit stronger of a field than Valencia was.
Yeah, and a completely different bike course. You've got 1,000 meters of climbing across 40K. So for those Americans, that's 3,300 feet of climbing. It's in 40K is no joke. And so, yeah, it's I'm bringing a, you know, Gwen's got a completely different bike setup. I'm bringing a climbing bike with completely different gears, completely different wheels, completely different everything for this race. And so, yeah, it's totally different race.
We didn't talk much about this race, but you got the strong Swiss team, a strong Norwegian team, a very strong Netherlands team, and a very strong German team.
Yeah, it'll be exciting to watch, and it's live streamed.
Yep. World Triathlon's been killing the coverage. You know, so they're
really making your $30 worth it, and it's only $25 if you use the Pro Tri News discount. So.
Yeah. No, I mean, and I think just with like how much they have to, with all these races that they're able to show, and hats off to them. Like I've said many, many times, they're an athlete first organization, and they're clearly showing it and hyping it. So, yeah.
With that being said, we want to thank everyone so much for listening this week. I mean, we have about 5 episodes left of this season before we wrap up the season. Can't believe we are in championship season, and it has been incredible thus far with some insane racing, drama, and exciting times. We love to sit down, chat about it all after. And just want to thank everyone for always tuning in, listening, sharing our thoughts, screenshotting, posting on socials. Thank you so much for that. If you can, share this with your friends, share this with your family that enjoy triathlon, and keep on listening to the shows. And we are excited to bring you a post-race recap from Nice next week. With that being said, we'll see you next week.
Oh, one thing. If you're in Nice, Triathlon Hour, Triathlon Mockery, GTN, all of them are doing fun stuff. So go do some fun stuff.